The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 16th of April, 2026, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. Today is nomination day. You may not have known that this morning when you took your first steps outside of your house, but you may have quickly realized that something special is happening today. Now, here's my thing. Sometimes the examples you need to understand what's happening around you, they just appear out of nowhere, right? Like, for example, I had a conversation planned this morning, but here's what we're going to start the show with. The question of, does the political class understand, is it aware of the space that it occupies, right? And that's a question that I'm going to have on my get any in studio. I don't know. They just don't like to be questioned. And I have some really good questions, right? Like, I want to ask questions. How much space does the political class occupy? And how much of our resources do they consume? Right? Now, that may seem like an odd question at first. You say, man, Erin be asking these like university questions and things. But this morning, on my way to work, right, I realized that I had miscalculated my route, but fortunately got off the road just in time to miss the nomination day parades as constituency teams lead their candidate to the nomination station. They're lining up everywhere. They're lining up everywhere, including directly opposite the Nassau Guardian building. Right. In fact, in my car today, I started a little observation, right? A little scientific observation, so I could assess the impact of the volume of the team. They just staged. At that point in time, they wasn't even moving. They weren't even prepared to move. They just warming up the speakers right next to the radio station. The first question I ask myself is, are they even aware that there's a radio station, right? They're like in proximity, they could see it from where their trucks are parked or their speakers are located, right? Is the political class aware of the space that it occupies? Then I looked at today's headlines, $74 million on travel in 4 years. And I think about all of the resources that are unavailable to the medical staff in this country, the healthcare professionals, in the public resources that do not exist but are required for the delivery of the services they provide. $74 million on travel. And then I saw this picture, sands, beaches, and parks, nothing more than a political slush fund for the PLP. That's the caption. The pictures of two broken urinals that are at the Pinewood baseball field, still in a state of disrepair. And then I opened up today's Nassau Guardian, and I saw this headline. National exams date changed due to election. The Ministry of Education, Technical and Vocational. I'm going to edit it while we're reading. The Ministry of Education, Technical and Vocational Training has adjusted the 3 BGCSE national exams and 2 GLAT national exams due to the election date. The election will be held on May 12, 2026. The BGCSE keyboarding skills paper 2 was rescheduled to May 1st at 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. The BGCSE electrical installation papers 1 and 2 were rescheduled to June 8th. At the original time and place. The BGCSE Food and Nutrition Paper 2 was rescheduled to June 8th at the original time and place, and the GLAT Grade 3 Mathematics application was rescheduled to May 15th at the original time and place. The GLAT Grade 6 Language Arts Writing Skills and Listening Comprehension exams were rescheduled to May 18th at the original time and place. That's the end of the article. Note this, when it says at the original time and place, that is an indicator that the schedule for the national exams had been set well in advance, set for the national election, well in advance of the decision or the announcement of the decision. Let me be precise, the announcement of the decision to hold the election on May 12th. Is the political class going to consume everything in the country? First of all, you had a manifesto launch that conflicted with the return of the winningest national sports team in the history of the Bahamas. They have won more championships than the PLP have won. If you understand what I'm saying, because y'all treat politics like a sport. Yet, the previously scheduled activity was postponed for the launch of a manifesto that was unavailable for the actual launch. So a question I would suggest that you put to candidates that come to you seeking your support is, how much space does the political class occupy? And how much of ourselves are we required as citizens to give up, to sacrifice for the functioning of the political class? National exams date change due to election. Somebody say, morning, Aaron, please play the little video. I don't know what the little video is. I got excited. I don't know what the little video is. So here are the questions. Go to the phone line, if y'all don't mind. Here are some questions for this morning's conversation. First, for nomination day. Do you think we will see any changes at nomination? Will there be any surprises? Right? Will any of the major parties, the PLP, the FNM, and the COI, and I call them major parties because they are running candidates, I think, in every seat, and even the COI? Does COI have a candidate for every seat? And they have announced their campaigns well in advance, right, of the announcement of the election date. Now, last election season, we saw a coalition party emerge that fielded, I think, candidates in every constituency. And I wonder if we're going to see something similar this nomination day. Oh, texter, I can't go from the text line to Facebook, not while we're on the air. Will we see any new parties emerging? I know Adrian Gibson said that he is not running again. Minnis is still running as an independent. Will we see Leroy Major take the stage as an independent candidate in Southern Shores? Will the DNA make a surprise appearance? How many actual independents will we see nominating? And who should not get a nomination? I'm going to go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
Used the best place in the clearest spot out for me, Mom.
Okay.
All right. Now, election has all election has rules. I mean, there are obviously requirements for instance, to submit a file, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, from the 50, the last 53 years of our existence, have you ever heard that somebody who a party
mm-hmm.
who's a candidate running or ratified or the party needs to have a letter from that party in order to be nominated?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think about it.
That's the law.
Hold on. I've never heard anybody read a law, identify a law that says that the procedure for nomination requires a letter of endorsement from the party that you are being nominated under, right? I think it's implied that if you get there and there's no fussing and fighting, then you are the endorsed candidate for that constituency. However, because this is what I was getting to, after it appears, you know, Leroy Major, his statement suggested that he had the rug pulled out from under him, right? Even the public commentary surrounding the Southern Shores ratification, Clint Watson, looking at the commentary, it appears as if Clint Watson had the rug pulled out from under him, right? And so I could imagine a conversation where somebody says to somebody in the party, boy, if you don't have a letter from your party saying that you are the candidate, don't trust nothing until you get to nomination day.
Okay, but now we are at nomination day.
Right? Mm-hmm.
We are at the desk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are submitting our applications.
And the paperwork, right?
And paperwork, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's an additional request, right?
From the Parliamentary Registration Department staff?
From the Parliamentary Registration staff for one particular organization, because nobody else is being asked to present
a letter of verification.
A verification from their party, despite these people were nominated and, I mean, was ratified by their parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's an additional information, right? But it might have been more sensible if everybody was put in the same position, or that was a requirement.
Right. Okay. So let me take it from here, right? Because this is a fascinating movie, right? This is a fascinating movie script. So the question is there a requirement as a part of the Parliamentary Registration Department's criteria for nomination day that individuals presenting themselves for nomination have a letter of endorsement from the party that they're representing? So that's the first question. Is that in law? Is that a requirement? The second question is one specific party being asked to present a letter of endorsement or verification from the party they say they're being nominated for? That's the second question, right? Then we have to answer those questions first. Like I tell you, this is an exciting movie. I like it. Now, here's why I intrigued, right? Because if a circumstance like this were to happen, it is more likely, right? It is more likely that a member of the party in question is working in collusion with the Parliamentary Registration Department to make the decision, the choice of who can nominate easier. So I'm not the one who's saying to you, oh my goodness, we had prepared you and we forgot that you needed a letter of nomination and now you can't.
But only you.
Right, so that's a really, really interesting movie plot. You see what I'm saying? But the question I have to ask you is this now. Is somebody alleging that this has actually happened? Because nomination hasn't started yet, has it?
It started from 9 o'clock or thereabouts. And this is actually happened.
No, no. You are alleging that it's happening.
No, I'm not alleging.
Did you see it? You heard it happen with your own ears?
I watch it live with
so here's what to do.
On Lincoln, be it live.
Oh, okay.
I watch
so
it live.
Here's what to do.
During the nomination.
The individuals involved need to consult their lawyer right away. Call them on. Hold
that's
on.
What they are doing.
Right. Call them. But let me say it for the broader audience, right? If this circumstance is happening, what you do is you call your party lawyer. They should be there anyway, right? You hopefully have captured video evidence of it happening.
Yes.
And you document that and you make a complaint to the Parliamentary Registration Department. You make a complaint to the Ministry of National Security responsible for the Parliamentary Registration Department. And you sit with your lawyer and you determine if you're going to wait for them to respond or if you're going to go to the media. That's what you do.
Well, you are definitely correct, but again, all of those things, I only possibly the first person maybe to bring it on the show, but it's already happening, all those things already.
No, that's what you say is happening. Pause. Caller. That's what you say is happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you say is happening.
Yeah.
I'm inside a studio looking at a microphone. I have no idea what's happening, and I didn't see what you saw. I didn't experience what you experienced. You see what I'm saying?
Well,
so hold on. So we are having a conversation on the public airwaves, right, where we have a degree of responsibility, where I am required to say that this is an allegation that's being shared by a listener.
Right.
And hopefully the advice that I gave them, they will share with the relevant parties.
Correct. I agree.
There you go. Good, good. That's all. Right?
I definitely agree. I definitely agree, but let me leave you on this note, right?
Please don't make it as sweet as a joke as the first one.
Because I know you could clear it up. But Aaron, how could somebody, right, with an anklet bracelet, right, be employed inside critical areas like the Parliamentary Register?
Okay, pause. Yeah. So, allegedly. It is a question of the nature of the crime that resulted in them wearing the ankle bracelet, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a question of the nature of the crime. If the crime is a petty crime, but they're required to wear an ankle bracelet, if the crime has nothing to do with the function of this, right, with the function that they provide in the particular government office, there is not necessarily
Aaron,
a problem.
Aaron, I'll agree again on this, right? But
yeah.
See, we didn't know petty crimes, right? In this country, we don't put anklet bracelet on petty crimes. And then certain government departments are areas where people are
very sensitive. So let me ask you one last question before we go, right? Because in this time, I think it's important for people to understand that we could talk about things once we shut you down, right?
No.
Of course not. I'm not trying to shut you down. Have you formulated your concerns into questions that you can put to your specific candidate, other candidates, right, in other parties, so candidates in your constituency, candidates in other constituencies, directly to the party machinery and to the public, forums like this? Have you formulated your concerns into a statement that can be shared with other people?
Yeah. You mean from a candidate, right?
No, well, your concerns about the electoral process, about what's happening, what you assume or perceive observe is happening at electoral place spaces. Have you formulated those and presented them to an entity, an agency, a candidate?
No, I haven't done that to none of the candidates, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, as the atmosphere don't allow for those type of situations.
That type of engagement,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I try my best, right, to come on this areas where we know a lot of people are listening,
mm-hmm.
respectfully, right,
mm-hmm.
and to try to voice my concerns or opinion,
mm-hmm.
respectfully, right, because we know what the atmosphere inside this country is. Our politicians aren't people in this country who believe in having audience of where people could voice their concern.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that type of atmosphere,
yeah.
Right? We need to have that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's possibly what we need. That is non-existent in this country. We see politicians every 5 or 4.5 years, and then every
don't see them at all.
They try their best to satisfy that could sell a charity. So yeah, but I just love the Bahamas, and I want us to be. I wanted to see a country with working for the betterment of all Bahamians and all of our visitors, right?
Yeah.
But we can't continue to push the corruption that we see in this country and believe that that can transform into a better Bahamas.
I got you. Listen, I want to say thank you. I got some more callers. But I want you to continue articulating your thoughts and documenting them, because I tell you what, your voice will reach people that my voice will not reach. You know what I'm saying? Your voice will touch hearts that my voice will not necessarily touch. And I appreciate that you always take the time to articulate your thoughts.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, man, thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Let's go to the next caller, and then we go into this headline. Monroe rebukes COI leader warns against poll interference. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? Sorry, I missed you. Here we go. Nassau Tribune. Monroe rebukes COI leader warns against poll interference. National Security Minister Wayne Monroe yesterday warned against interfering with voters exercising their right to cast their ballot at the polls, days after Coalition of Independence leader Lincoln Bain urged Bahamians who meet non-English speakers at polling stations to report them to COI agents. Mr. Bain said people who cannot speak the Queen's English should not have a passport, and urged Bahamians who encounter such people to notify the COI. I always want to stick a pin right here to say, you, Mr. Bain, would also be disqualified from voting, because it's no longer the Queen's English. It is now the King's English. He is the holder of the crown. The English belongs to the crown. You may not be Commonwealth of the Bahamas enough to vote either, Mr. Bain, if this is the state who many people thought they could discredit his capacity to lead, because he has switched the W's and the V's. But it turns out that that's like an inherent linguistic trait among some of the people who are Bahamians. Oh, there's excitement. There's excitement at the nomination station. Questions of conflicts. Texter, I can't read this out loud, but I await news in the news break. So whatever y'all do, we're not going to a break right now, but whatever y'all do, don't turn the dial, because I'm sure there's going to be some breaking news shortly. Let's get back to this article. He said the party would keep a proper record if it needs to go to an election court, where he said, quote, the battle begins, close quotes. Oh, my. Wow. Where he said, quote, the battle begins. I'm going to go to the phone line, and then we're going to get back to that, because that right there is what we're going to talk about after this caller. Good morning, caller. Thank you for your patience. Good morning.
I'm glad you called me Uncle. I go run with that.
Yes, sir.
Listen up. You ask questions, and I want to just address, I don't know how much time, but let me just put this like this. Most candidates, I won't say all, they ain't coming on your show because you can ask the hard questions that Bahamians are feeling inside.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to shy away from you because you may prove a little bit too challenging, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you ask the question, how much space the political class occupy.
Mm-hmm.
I drive roundabout,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking at the space, and I see Mr. Mitchell he's banded the whole roundabout with his images and likeness.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken up all the space, and that answers your question.
Mm-hmm.
How much space? They want all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
You could clearly see by his behavior. If you give him a chance to run again, if he wins, he'll run again and again, and he'll probably try to run in his grave. That's how greedy they are. They're not concerned about the youth. And you could clearly tell, but you have a prime minister anyway, he mentioned something about dirty campaign. Listen, they invented the art of campaigning dirty, because I used to work with them.
Now, listen, okay? just stick a pin, right? So I'm working on this project anyway. So I was tracking some articles. I think October 25, Davis uses the word feral to describe the nature of politics when engaged in the question of why more women are not engaging in politics. He said, because it's feral, right? But then there's a 2017 article right after Davis was appointed interim leader of the PLP, right? Where he says, quote, I vow to cut off heads, close quotes, to save the PLP, right? Like you say, then there's a question of all of these social media pages with no political name attached to them, but pushing messages for political parties. But just talking about dirty politics. Sorry about that. Thank you for that moment.
Yeah, but no, I'm glad I was able to bring that out of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't know how far they're willing to go, but trust me, they will bend pretty low. And I really urge Bahamians to refrain from, like you're talking about in those articles, to refrain from allowing these people to motivate you to become Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how they just thrive on chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And for some strange reason, Bahamians enjoy it.
Yeah.
We go to, you know, and then we go to church on Sunday and ask for repentance. Eh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's our nature. So we just got to be careful to don't get caught up in it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
No, absolutely, Uncle. Thank you very much for calling. Let's go to the next caller quickly. Maybe we talk about some of these campaign songs. Good morning, caller.
Yes. Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Okay, I was calling in reference with what you said. Leanne Monroe said, right, as
yes.
it relates to Mr. Ben.
Yes.
I want to find out, in the capacity, I know he's in charge of the armed forces, but is that the police position to warn Mr. Ben about anything happening at the polls, or is that the Minister of National Security position to speak that? Because I feel he's using his power to influence. I believe anything that is being done wrong, or be seemingly done wrong at the polls, anyone other than Mr. Bean, not only Mr. Bean has the right to speak out and to observe things.
I mean,
why is it that the Minister of National Security has to be involved in saying that?
Okay.
Is he trying to intimidate somebody?
Okay, so watch this. I think that your question is a question worthy of debate, right? I think it's a question worthy of debate. Here's my answer. My answer is that as the Minister of National Security, the buck stops with him, right? Bang. He is responsible. The buck stops with him. The Ministry of National Responsible, the Parliamentary Registration Department sits within that portfolio, right? So the buck stops with him. I think that this is why it's important for us to have conversations about the distinction individuals hold, right?
Right.
So Mr. Monroe is speaking in his capacity as Minister of National Security.
But I am sure Mr. Monroe have capable officers who are able to do their job.
Okay.
To call it what
to
it
make
is.
A proclamation of this nature. Which officer do you think, which rank in the force would...
Come on.
Oh, no, this is an important question. No, you can't raise... You can't raise such a...
They have ASPs, right?
Okay, so you think an ASP can make that type of announcement? Cool. Who would direct them to make the announcement? The Commissioner of Police?
What I'm trying to say... Miss Ben.
Green.
Hello?
Hi, Green. I'm Miss Green. Good.
Yeah, sorry, Miss Green.
No problem.
What I was saying, too, I saw about a month or so ago, Mr. Monroe was telling the police to sue certain people.
He said that
in his position. You remember with the two police officers who?
Oh, with the video and the public interpretation of what they saw in the video, and then he had commentary. Yeah. See. Okay. So pause. Stick a pin right there. You're making some great points. Let me. This is why it's very important, right, for us to have conversations about the distinction in roles and functions. I am a media host who has repeatedly questioned Mr. Monroe, right, and his decision to speak and whether he is speaking inappropriately or out of turn. So that's a good point that you make. However, right, I think in this particular instance, given what you're saying, that there are competent officers who can articulate a statement such as the appropriate way, I would argue that it is the role of the minister to make a statement like this, because police officers. You don't want police officers to be accused of playing politics. See, it is a neutral statement. In fact, I personally called on this show for Mr. Monroe to address this matter.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't think it's appropriate to make a police officer make this statement. I think the minister is the appropriate...
Don't cut me, right? Let me get this in.
No, you hold on. You predicting the future. Predict the future.
Okay. Let me just make this point. What is wrong with me if I'm at a poll and I believe something, I see some irregularities, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with me bringing that to citing places? What is wrong?
There's nothing wrong with you as a citizen who perceives or believes that they have observed an irregularity sufficient that the authorities should be aware of it. There is no problem with that, right? But, however, saying that a casual observation of one's use of the Queen's English on the voting line is sufficient proof to warrant identifying an individual as a potential fraudster in the election is ridiculous, because 95% of Bahamians cannot. It's not just that they do not. They cannot speak the Queen's English with proficiency. You, sir. See, make me in charge. Pause. Make me in charge of it. 95% of you would not be qualified to vote if the requirement was 100% proficiency in the Queen's English. Okay? You had the Deputy Director of Education, when being interviewed about a truancy exercise, say, we would have gone on a walkabout and we would have found 12 students. And guess what? They went on the walkabout and they found 12 students. The then Deputy Director of Education would be disqualified from voting. So does a citizen have the right, if upon observation they feel that somebody who is attempting to vote is not qualified to vote, do they have the right to bring their concerns to the press? Making proficiency in the Queen's English the standard and the casual observation of said English is the most foolish thing ever. Because the people who making the observation are not qualified. Now, you may think that I'm being mean and disgusting, but guess what? The vast majority of us speak Bahamian English. And that's why we're seeing such low test scores. Because a lot of us speak Bahamian English very well, but cannot perform proficiently on a test requiring what is now the King's English. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hello, Miss Green.
Good morning. How you do?
Thank God for life, as you say, Miss Green.
Yes, sir.
On that Queen's English thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way we speak. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up in school, they tell me we speak Bahamian dialect, broken English.
Right. So, listen, in the homes, like most of us, we grow up, our first language is Bahamian dialect. That's what we speak in the homes. That's what the people around us as babies speak, and that's what we pick up, right?
Yes.
And then as our parents and in our communities, as we hear people like the priest speak, as we hear our teachers speak, our parents speak, then we become proficient in Bahamian English. And then when we go to school, right, what they're teaching us is, like, because I'm 50, what they taught me was, right?
Proper English?
Huh? But listen, for me...
Proper English?
Yeah, but for me, in QC, a number of my teachers were actually English.
Yes, you'll be in the QC, yes, ma'am.
Right, and so, in that school setting, right, so I had access to Bahamian dialect. Now, you know my mother, she's a permanent secretary,
yes, ma'am.
And she used to pinch my ears when I said coon, and right, so...
You used to
getting your ass pinched today.
Boy, listen, I tell you, I've been to Esther May Hanukkah Memorial.
If it is to get pinched before I expect it still to get pinched if you run out.
Do you see what I'm saying? Pinches galore. So, like, I've been fortunate to have access to Bahamian dialect, Bahamian English, and the Queen's English, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And American English through magazines and television programs.
Yes.
But the vast majority of us are barely proficient in Bahamian English.
Yeah, I agree.
And so,
I wanted to ask you something.
Yeah,
listening to the different nomination and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is it wrong? I mean, I should say it this way. I think it's wrong for the what do you call him, the communication man? What he is?
The hold on. He serves as Director of Communications in the Office of the Prime Minister, but he also serves as, I think, Director of Communications in the Progressive Liberal Party.
Okay, so he must be speaking as Director of Communication of the Progressive Liberal Party when he say the Bahamian people, like he convinced the Bahamian people, we reach to the stage that we're not gonna do this where we keep voting out governments for the last 8 or 20 years.
It must have been, hold on, it must have been as the PLP communications director, because that would be a totally and wholly inappropriate and unprofessional statement for him to make as the director of communications in the office of the prime minister.
Yes, ma'am, I agree. And I think even as the PLP communication, he dead wrong, because that's the only tool we the Bahamian people have to deal with these either politicians or these different politicians in government. We don't have the recall system. I haven't heard no party. I haven't heard the COI unless I miss it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear no one say they put in the recall system in their manifesto or their blueprint. So that's all the Bahamian people get. I think it's foolish for him to expect the thing that, I don't know who tell him the Bahamian people get another tool, but we have to work in a certain way.
They told us, hold on, Papa, they told us that's the only tool we have. See, I thank you for raising that point.
Yes.
The political class has consistently told the public, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're asking all these questions and you think that we're supposed to consult you when it comes to decision making. You get your decision every 5 years.
They're supposed to come to us to make the decision, to find out and consult with us, eh?
Mm-hmm. That's what they're supposed to do. And all these campaign,
the mandate.
All these campaign generals, they're supposed to be creating communication channels within the areas that they quote-unquote control to ensure that the voices of the people in those areas are making their way to the party machinery.
When I talk to the people, it's only the only channel those generals doing is in their pockets, their own self-interest and empowering them, they self, friends, family, and lovers.
Now, listen, Papa, I got two more calls on the line.
Good work,
thank you. I got four texts, and I just realized my producer ain't give me no commercial yet, right? So I'm going to take these two calls. We're going to go to a commercial, and then I'm going to run through these texts faster than these guys run to the nomination station. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, Ms. Aaron, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, first of all, the man who just called, a reference to the bringing to the attention of anything like that. I don't know which country you think he's living in. And let him go fool with the wrong person. And I want them to not only sui box side, but also basically deal with them. Let the law deal with them.
You're talking about interference with people on the voters' line?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, let him go try that.
Yeah,
and listen to the same one who tell him to go do it, and I wish that person sue the backside off. Because, you know, we really got this. Let me tell you something. I think, especially in that third party, I think they on some kind of juice. I don't know what juice they on or what beverage they on, but it's like they ain't in reality. And the fact of the matter is they need to understand there's laws and rules.
Yes, sir.
And regulations.
Listen, you know,
you go messing with somebody, and you go mess with that person, and see what's going to end up happening.
Thank you much. Listen, to the caller on the line, I'm so sorry we have to go to the break. Understand something. The power of the vote, the importance of the vote. What are I through? In the hopes that their descendants would live in a world where they're free to make their own choices. This 2026 is not the year when we're going to start interfering with people's right to vote. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to run through these texts. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The following is a paid political message.
Out to Kalani.
That was a paid political message.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
This is definitely the time for BAMSI to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology, there's now year-round container farming. You have hydroponics, you have aquaponics, you have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses. Students from across the family of islands, because in BAMSI, we are not just cultivating produce, we're cultivating producers.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Oh, yeah! All right! My beautiful islands. I tell you, if the good Lord...
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Listen, guys, we got a caller. The board is lit up. We're going to take this call. Good morning, caller. Yo, thank you.
Just quickly, Ms. Green. The other day I was listening to the news. I think it was Dwight Show, and he was playing the Prime Minister opinion on National Lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was in tune and I was trying to figure out if I heard him correctly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did the Prime Minister say something about if you had a national lottery, it'd be turning it over to unscrupulous people? Like people, you know what I mean? Did corrupt people? I mean, because if he did say that,
mm-hmm.
what exactly is he saying? I mean, you know what I mean? Is he saying that if you turn it over to that the government is unscrupulous and corrupt? I mean,
all right. Listen. So I did not hear that specific statement. I'm going to be honest with you how I'm thinking about it right now. The media would have highlighted that. The media would have highlighted that if that's what he said. But further to that, right, just over the last few days, if not last night, was it Tuesday night? I read through a series of articles on the national lottery conversation, right? Okay, PM and church leaders reject FNM lottery plan. No, what I remember, here's what I recall the prime minister saying. So the prime minister, in responding to Michael Pintard, right, critiqued when Michael Pintard gave a list of jurisdictions that his government, his administration, would refer to model a lottery for the Bahamas, right? And he said, he laughed and said, anything here. Look at the Dominican Republic on the list. How he could put the Dominican Republic on the list? He don't know that their national lottery failed because of fraud and scandal and malfeasance. What happened? They're going to do the same thing here. I'm paraphrasing wildly. Right? Read these articles. PM and church leaders reject FNM lottery plan. FNM pledges national lottery. You read those two articles, eh?
All right, Mom. But his whole statement about that was tricky. I mean, like, he was stumbling over his words, it's almost like he was afraid when he was talking about it. It was just amazing to hear him.
No need to speculate. Thank you, caller. No need to speculate. I just find, like, why you didn't say these things when you were deputy leader of the party. We got to go to the text line. Here we go. There are many things that should be up for debate. I hate the hate. Remember when our PM placed his foot in his mouth by saying, yeah, when he's talking about that ASP. Thank you, Aaron. The misuse of would have drives me insane. I want you all to know Keith Bell is patient zero for that pandemic. Aaron, is Popper really a PLP? Boy, I ain't sure. If Popper's a PLP, yes, he's a PLP. Now, you see, when you read the first page of the PLP manifesto, the underwrite where it says, who are we? And it says, we are the party that was born out of the struggle for majority rule, founded because ordinary Bahamians were shut out of the decisions that shaped their own lives. That's A.D. Hanna PLP they talking about. They're not this PLP. Popper's a member of that PLP. You know, the one I wish Glennis Hanna would take. I wish you would take A.D. Hanna PLP to someplace where it will flourish. He is the type of PLP the PLPs need. Miss Green, the people have reason to believe hanky panking is going best. Listen, it is easy to speculate when there is a lack of clarity, right? And that's why we continually, or I do, demand for clarity in state and national processes and utterances. Here's another text. Well, I hope they know all Bahamians will be watching, interfering, recording, and reporting anyone who is suspect on election day the previous. No, you, the texter, what is wrong with y'all? What is wrong with y'all? Be careful what y'all say online. It's the Minister of National Security's job to address this matter. It's not a matter of political interference. That's his job. And there are measures and mechanisms in place. Yes, the police, right? But it's not their job to make the statement. It's the minister's job to make the statement. Here's another text. The PM mix up. Pintard never spoke ill about the PM, neither the PLP. He said he loved them. There we go. That's the text line for the day. Producer, I don't know if we could take that last call. I'm so sorry, caller. We are all out of time. I had to get the text in. I didn't read a text, but from the top of the show. We have so much more to talk about, right? So many questions I want to ask. I got lists and lists of them, especially for the candidates, right? How will you balance your obligation to Constitution, to party, to cabinet, to constituents, and to your personal belief? How will you balance these obligations? Candidates have been, you have to think about, because you've been doing it already in preparation for this nomination. How will you cause and compel others to discipline themselves, to moderate their behavior, to govern themselves? Right? And how will you ensure that your administration can move at the pace of its own policies? See, that's a pertinent question. The PLP couldn't even get the manifesto ready for the manifesto launch. And now, we have to delay some aspects of the national exams to accommodate the election, a date that could have been chosen at any time, right? Like the decision, the date could have been any day, except a Sunday, because we love the Lord so much, except when it comes to politicking. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, blame the producer. I love this song. This song right here, this is us, Bahamas. This is us. Y'all have a great day, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
New roads and airports are connecting our islands. Energy reform is bringing electricity prices down, while young Bahamians are stepping up, gaining new skills for new opportunities. Respect for workers. Support for entrepreneurs. We're modernizing energy and infrastructure across our islands and preparing Bahamians to succeed in a new economy. Transformations this big take time. Let's choose progress. Paid for by the PLP.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.